I tell you, after an introduction like that, I don't even want to preach. I'm scared to. Thank you, Van, for those kind words, and I do give God the glory. And again, let's praise God for this praise band that came with us. Amen. Amen. They're not only a blessing to every church they go to with me, but they're also a blessing to me. And it's just good to have good fellowship and friends like that, and God's using them in their respective churches in many different ways, and we give God the glory. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. Now, I know I may have a little bit of an accent, but I was at a church in Florida, and I thought that they were going to call out an interpreter, you know, but that's okay. So I may say amen sometimes, I may say amen sometimes, or I may make it three syllables, amen, okay? But we're going to have a good time together tonight. Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 9. Now, as you're finding that, I am going to need some help from you tonight, all right? I like to have congregation participation. I like to know that you're with me and that I'm with you and that we're together in this thing, all right? Some of them that were with me at ACS or different places may know what I'm talking about. The first is God is good all the time. Amen. You got that one. Now here's the second one. This is important. This is how I know that you're with me, I'm with you. Okay, ready? I'm going to teach you the way to do the 2008 way of saying amen. Okay, you start with your right hand on your left side. You say yes. Okay, I'm going this way. You're going that way. Y'all going that way. All right. Okay, ready? Here we go. Everybody's ready. Okay. Oh yeah. You'll say it whenever I give you a phrase for tonight. Okay. And every time I say that phrase for tonight, that's how you're going to know when to say yes, okay? So here it is, the phrase for tonight. Everybody ready? Everybody's ready. Okay, the phrase for tonight is deep water. Yes. All right, good, good, good. I think I saw a few going that way. It's all right, but y'all did good on that. But so every time you hear me say deep water, yes, amen, okay? Yeah, don't injure your neighbor. Don't hurt anybody. We don't want to have to call the rescue squad out tonight. But an hour and a half from now, whenever I'm still preaching and I say that, no, I'm just kidding, just kidding. A few minutes from now, whenever I'm preaching, I say, deep water, yes, amen, amen. That's what's supposed to happen, okay? And this is the most important thing you can do for me tonight, okay? I want you to hold up five fingers, all right? Hold up five fingers. For every one of these fingers that you're holding up, I want you to go home tonight and invite someone to revival service tomorrow night, okay? We need to get invitational again in the United Methodist Church, amen? I mean, every one of us can think of five people that need to be at revival tomorrow night. Now, don't call them up and say, I feel like you need to be at revival, okay? Like there's something wrong with them or something like that. But we can all think of five people that we really want to hear God's word. We want them to hear God's word tomorrow night, and God could have something in store for them. And then pray for them people. Go home tonight, call it during the commercial or whatever, call them during the commercial, whatever it is, but call them. There's alarming statistic that came out just several years ago about United Methodists. Now, Van, if you know the answer, don't give the answer. If any of y'all know the answer, don't give the answer. Ready? But the average United Methodist Christian invites someone to church once every how often? Once every 5 years? Okay. Any other guesses? Once a year? Okay. Any other guesses? Once a month, once every 6 months, a lifetime. Okay, the average United Methodist Christian invites someone to church once every 38 years. I mean, folks, that is pitiful, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine what would happen if we could get folks to just invite someone at least once every 15 years? Amen. We see churches fill up. Amen. But we need to get invitational again. We were second to last place. The only ones below us were the Episcopalians, and they were once every 56 years. So anyway, but we need to be invitational again. So here's your chance. Now, I may even call up Brother Van and say, how many of them brought folks now tomorrow for Tuesday night? So go home. Think about it right now, who you can call and invite to come home and, I mean, to come to church with you tomorrow night. God is good?
All the time?
Deep water?
Yes.
Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, put your seatbelt on. Going for a boat ride. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 9. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. And again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water. There was a comma there, but it was deep water. There we go. Good. Water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. And there will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. Let us pray. Almighty God, we just thank you for who you are in our life this day, for who you are that gives us your word, for who you are, who inspires us. Now, Lord, may your word challenge us tonight. May it change us tonight. And Lord, may we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I was doing a revival down in Hollywood, South Carolina last year, or it was a couple of years ago. I thought it was kind of cool that I could say I had preached in Hollywood one time, even though it was not Hollywood, California. But it was Hollywood, South Carolina, and it's down near Charleston. And I was riding around with the pastor there, and you may remember Mike Arant that started with us and we're in some classes together. But I was riding around with Mike, and as we were riding around, we would go by certain people's houses, and we would see that house, and he would say, Tim, that's so-and-so. Remember, they were at church last night, and they sat over there, and the water, they live on deep water. Help me. Amen. Good. But we would go by other people's houses and we wouldn't see, he wouldn't say anything. I would see water around their house or on the other side of their house, but he wouldn't say anything really about them other than that so-and-so and they sat in this place. And then we would go by somewhere else and he would say, well, Tim, that's so-and-so and they live on deep water. So it wasn't until a year later, whenever I went back down there to be with him again, I decided as we rode by and he told me that someone else lived on deep water, I decided that I would ask him what he meant by that. And he said, well, Tim, the water that they live on is deep. I said, okay. I mean, you know, it was one of those here's your sign moments, you know, or whatever. That makes sense and all. But actually what it was is that, see, those houses were on water that was deep enough for the large barges and for the large ships to come through. And especially back in history, whenever they would, all of their commerce would come through the Charleston Harbor, there was something of privilege. There was something special. There was something noteworthy of letting someone know that you lived on deep water. I believe that whenever it comes to our healing and our wholeness and our shalom, our peace with God, with us knowing that during the storms of our life that we have God on our side and that we're on God's side and that we're walking with Him and that we can know that there's shelter from the storm and that we can know that He is with us and that we can know that healing and wholeness is on the way. I believe if we are going to see that healing and wholeness happen in our lives and have true peace with God, we have to go and wade out to where the deep water is. There's something special, as we see here, about deep water. Now see, Ezekiel's vision here begins with this man of God measuring out 1,000 cubits and he takes them. Now understand, first of all, and I love this, sanctuary. I really do love this sanctuary. And I love this altar. And see, if you can imagine a river of water flowing out from the altar, that's where, what the Bible tells us. And see, these waters come from our worship, folks. That's why we were worshiping. That's why we sing songs on Sunday morning. That's why we pray and that's why we give and that's why we do all those different parts of worship, because you see, healing and wholeness, the waters flow out of the altar of God, and the altar of God represents our worship. And so as the water is flowing out, he measures out 1,000 cubits and he takes him out into the water. And he says, the Bible says that the water came up around his ankles. Now, we go to the beach and we get out there in our lounge chair and we're sitting out there soaking up the sun. And usually that water, as the tide is coming in, will come up around our ankles. And if that water's a little bit cold as it comes up around our ankles, what is the first thing that we do? We pick up our chair and we move on up onto the sand. Amen? Now, you know, I just always thought it was the craziest thing in the world, and my family does it too, that we will pay to stay at the beach all week long, and we'll go out there and lug all this stuff out there every day that we're there almost, if the weather's permitting, and we'll get out there and we have all of these things and chairs and picnic and all that kind of thing, and then we get out on the beach and we do everything we can to keep from getting sandy and to keep from getting wet. Amen. I think my little 2.5-year-old that's in the nursery in there has it right. I mean, she drops a Vienna sausage in the sand, she just picks it up, crunchy and all, and just eats it. I mean, you know. But that's how we are. We get into the water, and I believe in our spiritual life, we give our life to Christ, we step into the water, the water comes up around our ankles, but if it's just a little bit too cold, if it's just a little bit, all of a sudden we get shaky. And the commitment just isn't quite there like we wanted it to be. And we step back out on the dry sand. But Ezekiel's vision didn't end there. He measured out another 1,000 cubits. And he takes them out another, and the water comes up to his knees. Now, if you go to the beach or if you get into a pool and the water comes up to your knees and that water is at a lower temperature than your body temperature, then it's going to begin to affect your hypothalamus and begin to affect your body temperature and bring your body temperature down to where the water temperature is. And you know what? It's going to begin to change things within you. It changes your body, that cool water that's up around your knees. But in the very same way, whenever we step out into the faith life, whenever we step into a life with Christ and we're out there and we get used to the water around our ankles a little bit and we say, oh, this is okay. I kind of see some good things happening now and I can see Christ at work in my life. And so you step on out there to the knee-deep water. I got you there. deep water. Yeah, there we go. And you step out to the water that's knee deep, and all of a sudden it begins to change us a little bit. God's Spirit begins to show us things, and all of a sudden some of those things that we're doing, we realize we shouldn't be doing. Or those things that we're not doing for God that we should be doing. And God begins to change us. You know what? Too many times when it begins to change, it gets just a little uncomfortable, and we step back instead of stepping forward. But you see, wait a minute, healing, wholeness, life victorious is not backward, it's further. He measures out another 1,000 cubits, and the water comes up to his waist. Now, you know as well as I do that whenever you get into water that's waist deep, and that water is just a little chilly, then a decision has to be made. Amen? You either have to go ahead and dive in and go under, or you've got to get out of the water. Amen? And don't you see, folks, too many times, I believe there's a lot of good Christians, and they step into the water, and they move on down, and God changes their life, and they move on down, and it sounds a little bit like sanctification, does it? Amen? And they move on down, and God's changing their life, and they move on down, and then all of a sudden, God's calling them to certain commitments in their church, and certain commitments for the world, and certain commitments toward their family. And too many times we get there where we have to make a decision about our commitments. And too many times good Christians decide to back up to the water that's at their knees instead of going ahead and diving in. But listen, he carries him out further. The faith life goes out further. He carries him into this water. He says it's water that's so deep that one must swim. And then he takes them to the bank and he shows them where that deep water goes. And it's a place where everything that's there is healed. I want to talk about that deep water this morning. And especially when it comes to our wholeness and our healing. And I'm not just talking about physical healing and wholeness. I'm talking about relationships in our life that need healing. Family, marital, whatever it may be. I'm talking about emotional healing or financial healing or whatever kind of healing is needed there. God wants to see us willing to wade on down into deep water. Now, there's a few factors to that. The first is this. In deep water, there is always a fear factor involved. There's always a fear factor involved. See, I believe too many times we think of the word fear as in afraid, like a horror movie or something like that. Or we think about fear factor and we think about that show that was out not too long back that, you know, they eat worms and that kind of thing and all. But I'm not talking about that type of fear tonight. I'm talking about a respect for the awesomeness of God. See, the Bible tells us time after time to fear the Lord. It means standing in the awesomeness of God. See, I think too many times we've made our relationship with Jesus just a little too casual. We've decided to say that our relationship with Jesus is just like, it's just me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. I mean, just I like a friend like Jesus that'll sit back, drink Pepsi, and eat potato chips and watch the game with me. Amen. That's my friend. But see, and don't get me wrong, we talked about and we sang about there's a friend, I am a friend of God, and there's a real intimate part of our relationship with Jesus, but there's also an awesomeness and a glory to the power of God. And when we step into deep water, we are respecting the God. Amen. Y'all got me on that one. But when we step into deep water, we're stepping into the respect of the awesomeness of God. We're fearing the Lord. Listen, Psalm 34 verse 9 tells us this. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. There is no want to those who fear Him. You've heard people say before, when you go to the ocean, that you need to respect the ocean. Amen? Undercurrents and riptides and all those type of things. We need to respect the awesomeness of God and believe in what He can do and how much greater it is than anything we can do on our own. In deep water, there's always a fear factor involved. Not only is there a fear factor involved, but there's also a faith factor involved. There's a faith factor involved. See, every time we don't dive into deep water unless we have faith in something or someone. Amen? I mean, you don't dive into water that's over your head unless you have faith either in your own swimming abilities or in the swimming abilities of a lifeguard or somebody that you're with. I used to go swimming all the time at Whalen Swimming Pool over in Mount Olive, North Carolina. And I would go and I would jump off that diving board and I'd dive in all day long and jump off there and just swim right over to the ladder. And I would do it all day long as I had on my swimmies. You know them orange things that you put on your arms? Amen. I think I was getting up about 10, 11 years old or whatever, and I'd still jump in with them swimmies on. And you see, the thing is, I knew that I could jump in and dive into that deep water because I had faith that those swimmies, even though I went under, they would bring me back up. It's the very same way, folks. Listen, every time that we see miracle, every time that we see God doing something in the New Testament, that Jesus does something, somebody's faith was involved. Sometimes it was the person that was being healed. It was their faith. Sometimes it was others' faith. Don't you remember this man that was lying there on this mat, and he had four friends that said, "Let's get this guy to Jesus," and they pick him up, and they take him, and they dig through the top of a house where Jesus was, and they lower him down, and Jesus saw their faith, the Bible says, and he was healed. There's always a faith factor involved. Now, I'm not the one that measures that faith, and I can't tell you got to have this much faith for this to happen or that much faith, and there's some preachers try to tell you that stuff. I don't. I leave that part up to God. But there's always a faith factor in God, involved. Not only is there a fear factor involved and a faith factor involved, but in deep water, when it comes to healing and wholeness in our life, there's also a trust factor involved. A trust factor involved. Trust is when we place faith, our faith, into action. Trust is whenever we put our faith actively into someone or something. And the ones we're supposed to be placing our trust in is Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the one. And whenever we step into the deep water and wade out into that water, into that river where healing and wholeness come, there is always a trust factor involved. That's several years ago whenever we were down in Charleston. For that revival, one of the lay people there let the pastor borrow his 18-foot boat. Now, y'all hear that, don't you? Lay person lets the pastor borrow the boat. Okay, amen, amen, amen. Help them pastors, amen. But he lets them borrow his 18-foot boat, and he takes my family out on the Charleston Harbor. Beautiful day, beautiful scenery. Got to see the harbor from the other side. I'd never seen that before, and I've been to Charleston once or twice, but never seen it from that side. And it was just a wonderful morning out there. And then at lunchtime, we just rode the boat right on up into the harbor there and docked the boat there and went into this fancy restaurant. I mean, it was this nice restaurant. It was named after some golfer. I can't remember his name. But anyway, I think they make shirts after him too. But anyway, it was this nice fancy restaurant. And I mean, we went in there and everything in that restaurant was fancy. Everything in there. Even the bathroom was fancy. I mean, had that Cooler or whatever kind of that brand name kind of fixtures is and everything. And then even under the men's urinal, there was this metal grate and there was ice down in there. Now, I have no idea what that was for. I don't even know why I'm telling you about it. But anyway, but just everything. I mean, everything was fancy in that restaurant. And we just enjoyed a good meal there and then a good day on the harbor and went up and down the market fair there and everything. And just a great day. But you know what? Me and my family would not have been able to enjoy the benefits of that boat ride and that day had we not trusted that pastor driving the boat. And I want to tell you something, folks. We have the one driving the boat who needs to drive the boat. And his name is Jesus. And we can trust him tonight. We can trust him. And no problem is too great and no problem is too small. Because I know, listen, if it's your problem, it ain't a small problem. Amen? Your problem, it's a big problem. My problem, it's a big problem to us. No problem is too great. No problem is too small for the one who's driving the boat tonight. I shared this testimony. I did at annual conference one year, and I just want to share it again. Little boy that goes to our church, before he was ever born, we were praying for him. The doctors had diagnosed him with spinal bifida. And his parents were living in Cincinnati, Ohio when he was born. But made it through childbirth okay and everything. But they had said that there was a good chance he would never walk. Good chance he would never talk. Anyway, they moved to North Carolina and started attending our church where their parents actually attended too. And he went for a checkup, and the doctors at Chapel Hill, he was only about 18 months old at this time, and the doctors at Chapel Hill said that something was wrong and there was some swelling on the brain and they weren't sure what it was coming from, but they were very concerned. Well, the parents wanted second opinion, wanted him to go back to his doctor that began with him at Cincinnati. So they made plans about a week away to go back to Cincinnati and to have the procedure done there. We wanted to do something for them that upcoming Sunday. So on that Wednesday night, and I'd looked everywhere, I wanted to do a prayer quilt. And I looked at several of the hospital gift shops where I'd seen those before. Of course, none of them, when you need one, has them. But anyway, I'd gone to several Bible bookstores and everything and looked and couldn't find one anywhere. So at Wednesday night dinner, I went up to Miss Betty, who does sewing, and I said, "Miss Betty, I said, is there any way that you can fix a small quilt by Sunday?" And she said, "Why, yes, I think I got some starter patterns. What do you need it for?" And I said, "Well, I said it's for a little boy, and it's for Noah." And she said, "Tim, well, the pattern that I think I can really have a good chance of finishing by Sunday is actually a Noah's Ark pattern." I said, "That'll work." And so that weekend, the church, everybody in the church that Sunday morning signed that quilt and prayed over that quilt. And that morning, we prayed for the quilt and for Noah and for his family. And they went off that next week to Cincinnati, Ohio for the procedure. We got word back that Noah had taken the quilt in with him for the procedure. They allowed him to do that. Then we received word back that the doctors there, when he got in, couldn't find anything wrong. In fact, they said everything looked like he was in good shape and for the doctors at Chapel Hill just to keep a check on him. And we praised God. And I want you to know right now, Noah's in kindergarten. And he runs around and plays with the other kids. And he talks, and he loves to talk during the children's time about pancakes and ice cream and other things. And I just know that the one who's driving the boat is the one we can trust. Amen. We can trust Him. This morning, tonight, as we stand together, and as Robert comes, and Larry and all, we're going to sing a final song together tonight. I'm going to say a little prayer. Let us stand, and I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to sing a final song together. And when we begin to sing tonight, whenever I finish my prayer, if you're here in this place, and maybe you just know that you need to step out into the water tonight. Maybe you're here and maybe you've been ankle deep for a long time. You want to step on in. You know that there's some things God needs to change and you just want to step on in. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been enjoying the sun on the shoreline there. Didn't want to get your feet wet. And you need to take that first step. Say yes to Christ. And say yes to what He wants to do in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been wading around that waist high water. And there's some things God's calling you to. Maybe it's a new ministry that He's calling you to begin or to take part in. And it's time to make that decision. And you know it's either dive in or get out of the water. And you know you need to say yes. Maybe it's tonight that you have a place in your heart that truly needs healing and wholeness. And you say, Tim, I'm just going to step in. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just going to get into the deep water where I know the one who's driving the boat. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we have heard your word and Lord, as you are moving in our lives, Lord, we pray right now that anyone that is at any one of those places, and they want to just get a little deeper. Lord, we pray right now that you'll make this area up here around this altar area, that river, where commitment, where sanctification, where change, where salvation, where your forgiveness, where your joy, where your healing flows. And if there's anyone who needs to step a little deeper tonight, Lord, I pray that they would just come and find a place in these waters. They'll step in. They'll wade. They'll swim. And they'll receive all that you have to give. Lord, let us respond in obedience tonight to where you're calling us to be and what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to step in any way tonight, I just encourage you to come. Find a place around this altar. Me and Brother Van will come by and pray with you. But don't let this night end without wading in the river for whatever need is in your life or wherever you need to be. Would you come? Would you come?